Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is Psalm 130. And I'd like to read this for you now. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Let's pray. God of hope, as we listen to your word today, fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in Christ, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may abound in hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, our world is in troubled and strange times indeed. As we continue to deal with the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic, many are anxious, many are frightened, many are confused and overwhelmed. We're wondering, how bad is this going to get? How long will it all last? What light is at the end of the tunnel? In short, we're wondering, where is our hope in the midst of this crisis? The psalm set down for this fifth Sunday in Lent is one which speaks to just that topic. It's about hope in a time of crisis. And as we look at it today, we'll see how it takes us through three stages. First, there's the cry of hope from the depths. Second, there's the hope as we wait. And finally, and most importantly, there is the hope which is ultimately in the Lord. So, first is hope from the depths. The psalm begins, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. This imagery of the depths, it's very powerful and vivid. It seems to be an image of being engulfed by water, the deep places, the depths. A place where waves crash all around you and there's this sense of being overwhelmed. Perhaps you've experienced something like this literally in the water, in the ocean. Perhaps you can think back to a time you were out swimming at a beach, maybe when you were a small child and the waves seemed so much bigger. As the tide comes in and the waves start crashing, you can remember that sense of the waters engulfing you, overwhelming you. Perhaps it was cold. Perhaps the day was getting darker. But it's one thing for the water to be overpowering you from above. It's another thing when you have one of those moments in the ocean when you go to put your foot down and there's nothing below you. You've gone out that bit far. There's no sure footing underneath. There's this sense of drifting and helplessness, and in those sort of situations, panic and despair can arise pretty quickly, can't they? This is the depths. I don't think it's too dramatic to say that for many people in our world right now, perhaps for some of you, we feel like we are in our own version of the depths. There's a sense of being overwhelmed. There's a sense of not having a sure footing at the moment in which to stand. For some of you, this is already happening in very personal ways. Perhaps through loss of employment, the lack of financial security. Perhaps it's through being cut off from loved ones and becoming very isolated and lonely. Perhaps for some of you, it's already through physical sickness, or it's the fear of physical sickness. For others of you, maybe this pandemic has not had a personal impact yet, but as you look around at our world, the sense of need is what is overwhelming. Well, notice in our psalm that it's from the depths that the cry to God begins, the cry of hope. It's from this place of being overwhelmed and lacking a solid foundation that the psalmist cries to the Lord to hear him, and more than that, he's confident that the Lord will hear him. There is hope from the depths. The hope is there because the psalmist says he knows there is forgiveness with the Lord. Now, why is that important? Well, it seems to be that the psalmist has this sense of his own sinfulness, and it makes him realize that in himself he's got no case to cry out to the Lord for help in his time of need. In other words, he can't say to the Lord, "Please hear me because I've done such a great job in life and I deserve for you to hear me and help me." No, no, no. It's quite the opposite. This crisis for him, like all crises for all of us, they remind us of our own brokenness, of our own sinfulness. And so this crisis, along with all crises, are for us a call to repentance, to turn back to the Lord, to look to his mercy. And it's that mercy that means the psalmist can confidently cry out from the depths. He knows there's forgiveness with the Lord. Friends, we do well in this current time to remember the importance of lament in the Christian life, in the worship life of the church. That this lament, these prayers from the depths, this is a part of our faith. The Christian faith is not just for the good times. It's especially for the times of suffering. The Christian faith is not just lived on the heights. It's lived especially in the depths. There are many psalms and other places in Scripture which express this lament, this crying out to God from the depths, and this is a time to use them. Cry out to God. Use these psalms of lament for yourselves, for our world. We can do this as God's people. Acknowledge the pain and the suffering. Acknowledge the sense of being overwhelmed. Acknowledge the sense of having no sure place in which to stand. Cry out to God from the depths, because there is hope even from the depths, knowing that he will hear us. That's where we begin today. Hope from the depths. Next, we move to hope as we wait. I wait for the Lord, the psalmist says. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. So the picture here is something like guards or soldiers up on a tower, perhaps, and they're on the night shift watching for danger. So these are the ones who are charged with watching through the long hours of the slow night, that time of deep darkness, watching for danger to come, but for the most part it doesn't. It's just a long, slow night. And yet it's crucial that they keep watching just in case. Perhaps you've been on night shift sometime in your life and you know a bit about what this is like. Especially if you've been working at night outside, you'll know that you watch for that first light to dawn. Other people have told me that this is a bit of what it's like for them when they have sleepless nights. And they just wait for the morning, that first light to come, and there's a sense of relief when it does come, waiting through the long, dark hours of the night. This is the picture of our waiting in hope for the Lord. Remember, the people of God have always been a waiting people, just like Simeon and Anna, who at the time of Christ's birth were waiting, we're told, for the consolation and the redemption of Israel. In another one of the Psalms, we pray, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And this picture of waiting through the night hours for the morning to dawn is a beautiful one because it acknowledges both the long hours of darkness, but also the certainty with which the light will come. Morning always comes. The Lord will hear. The Lord promises to act. The morning light will come. But here's the thing. The timeline is His. The timeline is His. And so to be a person of hope is to be a person of waiting. Now, in our country right now, in many countries around the world, things have already been largely shut down in our society. So many of our regular activities, including our church activities, have had to be suspended for a time. And we don't know how things will go from here. Things have changed so rapidly just in this past week here in Australia. It's possible that these restrictions will become more severe, of course, like we've seen in other countries. And so it seems that we will have a time of waiting ahead of us. Waiting to see how bad the virus will become. Waiting for life to return to normal. Waiting for the Lord. Waiting to see what His plans are for this world. What His plans are for our church, what His plans are for each of us. And so what are we to do as Christian people as we wait? Well, notice what the psalmist says here. Notice the shape his waiting takes. He says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope." So one of the things it means to wait for the Lord is to direct that hopeful waiting toward the Word of God. And so practically, what should we be doing in the next weeks and months as we wait? Well, there's a number of things. Last week, Pastor Fraser gave us some good encouragement to consider how we can continue to show practical Christian love for others during this time. During the week, if you had a chance to watch or listen to or read Pastor Thomas Peach's midweek sermon, he also gave us good encouragement on using this time as one especially for prayer. Well, here today in the psalm is some more practical advice during this time of enforced waiting. Turn to the Lord's Word. We are blessed to have the Scriptures in our homes. And the psalmist said it's in His Word that we hope. And so let us hear the Word of God. Let us read it and mark it and learn it and inwardly digest the Word as we wait for the Lord. If you have struggled in the past to get into patterns and habits of regular reading and meditation on the Lord's Word, now may be your time. And perhaps on your shelf you've got other Christian devotional books that you haven't read in years, or you've got that old spiritual classic that you've always been meaning to get to but haven't, now may be the time. As we wait in hope, we turn to the Lord's word. So, first, there was hope from the depths. Second, there was hope as we wait. And finally, and most importantly, we learn that our ultimate hope is in the Lord and in his redemption in Christ Jesus. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. As Christian people, we can look to many places for hope falsely. The psalm encourages us to look in hope to the Lord. For example, as Christian people, we are subject to the government. That's mainly why we're no longer meeting together publicly. We respect the governing authorities as given by God, and we pray for them and we follow their regulations. But our hope, our ultimate hope, is not in the government. As Christians, we support and we pray for good science and medicine. And don't we give thanks in these days for all of those people who are working so hard to care for the sick, to manage the outbreak of the virus, to find a vaccine? God bless these people. We thank God for them. But our ultimate hope is not in science and technology and medicine. And as Christian people, we try to act responsibly with the money and possessions that we are given. And again, we give thanks for the experts in various sectors who seek to stabilize the economy at a time such as this. We're thankful that provision can be made in our country for those in financial hardship. But our ultimate hope is not in our bank balance. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Your hope, Christian people, is in God, in what he's done for you. Notice what the psalmist says. Why can you hope in the Lord? Because first, of his steadfast love. There is the steadfastness that we're looking for when it feels like the bottom has fallen out of our life. The true steadfastness, the true solid foundation is the love the Lord has for you, his people. Which means that no matter what comes in life, no matter what the future holds, your life is safe and secure in him. This is the steadfast love which meant the sending of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to give his life for the sins of the world. And what shall separate us from this love of Christ? Hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor the depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Why? Because of his great power to redeem, it says. A power which he worked in Christ as he raised him from the dead to redeem you from your slavery to sin, to redeem you from the power of the devil, to redeem you from death. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Friends, in the context of this virus and our world at the moment. The Lord does not promise us that everything will just be okay. The Lord does not promise us simply that everything will go back to normal, and he doesn't promise us when. He does not even promise us that some of us will not die from this virus. But in the face of death, he promises us something far, far better. In the face of death, he promises us a resurrection life that is stronger than death itself. He promises us a redemption in Christ Jesus that gives deep and lasting life, even unto eternity. So hope is in the Lord. So there it is for today. Psalm 130, hope in a time of crisis. There is hope even from the depths of despair. There is hope in our waiting as we turn to the Lord's word. There is hope in the Lord, in his love, in his great power to redeem, and in the life that knows no end. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.